ring if you're ready to care. Let the podcast begin. Oh, let's talk power, let's talk speed. Hosted by the one and only We Too Deep. Turn it up loud, feel the power in your seat. This is Slappin' Neat, yeah, Slappin' Neat.
What is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slappin' Meat Wrestling Podcast. It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we got a lot of wrestling and things to talk about. We're going to answer the question at the end of the episode. Did WWE just bury and kill forever kayfabe as we discuss my thoughts on WWE Unreal, the Netflix documentary? We're bringing back Thirsty Tuesday. We got a bracket for you. We'll break that down, do the first four matchups. But before we do that, we're going to jump into Night 2's review of SummerSlam. If you haven't already checked out Night 1's review from Saturday, go and check that out, and then come back. I didn't think I would make it an hour, but who am I kidding? I push record, and we're going to go an hour. That's just how this is. Before we jump into Night 2, though, I got a question to ask all the listeners. Right. I got a question for you all. Are you tired of, like, this? We have a paradox, or not a paradox. We have, like, a divisive IWC. We'll talk about some of this later, right? But you have, like, the influencers of the IWC who seem fake, right? And you have the sickos and the people who are, right? And they're just there for clicks, right? And I talk about this all the time. Your Sean Ross Sapps, stuff like that. People, right? But then you have people on the other side, maybe on a more casual side, who also just post in a a sort of fake point of view, right? Right. So let's start off by saying this. Let's just stop with all the sugarcoat, and let's just get to this, right? The casuals, who I was just talking about, right? They're hypocrites. Yeah, I said it. The casual crowd might be the biggest walking contradiction in the wrestling world. Right? They don't really know what they like because they flip-flop their opinions every 3 months. Right? They don't really understand to a deep knowledge of what wrestling is. But they sure as hell have something to say about it every single week, don't they? They will trash the technical a technical match for being too slow. But then they'll turn around and say they miss the storytelling of the Attitude Era. They're nostalgia fans, by the way, right? They'll boo a 5-minute grappling exchange between Bryan Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr., which, by the way, would be a banger match if that actually happened. Zack Sabre Jr. is highly underrated to a lot of American fans. I know the sickos are going to say, well, we love Zack Sabre, right? But what they'll then cry about is that the wrestling doesn't feel real anymore, right? They'll complain about the flippy guys not selling, but then pop when Logan Paul does a frog splash off the turnbuckle, through Jelly Roll, through the table, and then nothing happens, right? He then wins the match, right? Very little selling in that aspect, right? Half the time they want to be told what's cool, what's getting the most likes on TikTok, what's getting the fan response in the arena. That has to be what's over. They don't care necessarily about wrestling as an industry or as the product as a whole, but more about the clips that can get them clicks. Wrestling for them is just background noise. But I'm an equal opportunity slapper. So we could talk again about this IWC. Right? The internet wrestling community, or as I like to call it, the asylum where everyone's a booker, a gatekeeper, and some kind of moral compass, all rolled into one. The IWC, these hardcore fans, it's just straight up maniacs. You can't like what you like. You have to like what they like, or else you're not a real fan. If you say WWE is putting out good content right now, you're a bootlicker. If you criticize AEW at all, you're a fed shill. You don't understand long-term storytelling. Even if that story is just thirty-seven six-man tags and a possible QR code that might go nowhere. Looking at you, Wyatt Six. You want to know what the IWC really is? It's a bunch of people who treat wrestling like political parties. They align themselves like it's red versus blue. Like Tony Khan is some kind of revolutionary and Triple H is the devil himself. I've seen people have full-blown meltdowns over the word sports entertainment. Like the phrase killed their dog or something. Bro, like literally relax. You watch grown men body slam each other in tights. It's all sports entertainment. It's all entertainment. It's television. And it's wild how these two groups, the casuals and the hardcore IWC, they hate each other. The casuals try to create a war against the hardcores, a war that doesn't actually exist. They hate each other, but they act the same. Casuals chase the trends. The IWC chases clout. Neither one watches wrestling just to enjoy entertainment anymore. They're too busy posting, complaining, comparing ratings, arguing about Meltzer stars, inventing some fake drama behind the scenes to justify why their guy doesn't win. I swear the IWC could watch a 30-minute classic between two legends and still go, yeah, but that crowd wasn't into it. Bro, let me tell you something. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to be honest with you. This little monologue, it was pre-written. Bro, it's like it read my mind. We're going to talk about it because the IWC is literally doing that. Not even the IWC, the casuals are doing that with this Lyra Valkyria match. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. Like, what are you even watching? What happened to just watching wrestling and saying, huh, that was dope, or, huh, that one didn't hit for me, but, you know, going to the next match. Like, now everything's got to be tribal, it's got to be political, it's got to be about content. Everyone's a critic, but no one's a fan. It's not supposed to be the story, or this complicated. It's literally stories. It's drama. It's violence, athleticism, sometimes a little goofy, sometimes poetic, sometimes it's just two big meaty men slapping meat. And that is why this podcast exists. Slapping Meat Wrestling. This isn't for the casual who only turns in during WrestleMania. It's not for the Twitter addict who's 40 tweets deep into a thread on why Orange Cassidy should have ended Roman Reigns' title run. This is for the people who want real conversation. For fans who grew up watching Batista powerbomb everyone into the crust of the earth. The ones who love the art form. Who don't mind a 30-minute technical classic. But also just want to see two dudes brawl in the parking lot. Whatever your taste, whatever your flavor is, we want to create a community. We're not here to argue star ratings. We're here to talk about moments, matches, and madness. If you're looking for a show to pander to whatever's trending, I promise you right now, this isn't it. I don't pander. I don't change my thoughts. If you want some fake outrage, overworked punches, or booking decisions, you might be in the right place. I complain about booking, but it's not fake outrage. I have legitimate outrage that I actually believe in. I'm not going to fake my way into getting popular. But if you want some fake outrage because you brought Brock Lesnar back, and we'll talk about that when we go over SummerSlam, you're definitely in the wrong place. If you want someone that actually watches the shows, remembers what it feels like when you got a surprise and it wasn't spoiled by the internet, you might have found your podcast. If you want a place where we have actual conversation and not just hot takes and what's going on in the news. Yeah, you probably found your place. That's right here. Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. That's what we do. It's what I do. So, if that's what you want, if you want unbiased conversations, you're free to disagree with me. I want that. Call me out on some bullshit. If you think I'm lying, if you think my opinion just plain out sucks, that's what I want. I want conversation. Because my opinion, just because it's my opinion, doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I'm right. I try to be logical in what I say. It doesn't mean I'm always right. But the only way we can learn how to communicate with each other is when we can open up criticism. So criticize, that's fine. Go to the Discord, click the link, join the Discord, let's have conversations. right? But I'm not going to tell you what you can and cannot say like some wrestling communities will do. I'm not going to moderate your conversation unless you're getting out of hand, right? Because that's what I want. I want to build a community that has conversations, not an echo chamber where you have to listen to what I say. Now, I joke around all the time. Like, I just joked around and made the slapping meat Ten Commandments. Guys, it's a joke. It's a joke. Right? Yeah, y'all can have any opinion you want. That's the whole point of opinions. Right? So we're going to get on with mine. We're going to get on with my opinions. Remember, I strive for the three R's. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be raw. And I'm going to be relevant. That's my three R's, right? Hold me to that. So night two, SummerSlam. We're not back in April. This is August. I know it's 60 degrees here in North Carolina because we're in fall number one. If you're a North Carolina resident, do not put the jackets on. This is false fall, so it's a false alarm. Summer number two is on the way. Remember, we got like 12 seasons in North Carolina. We got like spring, summer, false fall, summer two, false fall number two, summer three, winter. Random month in like January where it's like 82 degrees randomly. March, it's cold as hell. Like, North Carolina weather is crazy. It's 60 degrees today. It was 92 degrees last week. Two weeks ago, we were in the 100s. I don't know what's going on. I don't like it. I'm going to be sick this weekend because the weather keeps changing. I don't. Let's dig in. We talk about my wrestling opinions on SummerSlam night number two. So we start this off. Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Naomi for the World Championship. Now, I know a lot of people are rating this. I probably should have gone back and rewatched these matches, especially this one. I don't remember necessarily liking this match. It wasn't bad. I think the problem that I had with it is I did the same thing I think WWE thought they could get away with, which is this is essentially the WrestleMania match, but you just take out Bianca, put in Naomi, and you think you could strike gold twice. But Naomi is far from being Bianca Belair. This match didn't hit like that. That WrestleMania match coming into this show was my match of the year. Coming out of the show, I'm conflicted. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think this match hit the way that I wanted it to. I'm not the biggest fan of Naomi. I'm just going to be honest. I like the gimmick. I don't think her in-ring style is necessarily for me. I just don't think she's athletic, but she doesn't really do much to add to this match. So we're gonna do this. Where do we go from here? I'm going to talk about the match and then say, where do we go from here? That's how we're going to break this down. So where do we go from here in this women's division? Well, Rhea and Io, based on what we saw on Raw yesterday, are still going to go after the title. I think Io gets a match against Naomi next week, if I remember correctly. Let me say this. The biggest surprise for me is that Rhea ate the pin. Which is something, you know, I've always said, like, Rhea was on Mercedes level protected to me, that Mercedes, until she eats a pin on AEW television, I'm never going to pick against her. I was on that way with Rhea until Rhea ate a pin on WWE television. I wasn't ever going to pick against her. Well, she ate a pin. So, I don't like what they're doing here, right? Because what they're doing is they're doing the same thing they did going into Mania, where we're going to continue doing matches so you don't actually know who's facing Stephanie Vaquer going into Paris. As we have 26 days until the Paris show. And we don't know any of the matches. We know Stephanie Vaquer is facing somebody. But Io gets a title match next week. Rhea's coming after the winner. So maybe it'll be Rhea. I don't like when Triple H does this booking. Like, I wish he would just give us matches and then build towards those matches. Instead of waiting, you know, till 2 weeks before the PLE to give us all the matches and then giving us zero build for the actual match. Right? I didn't hate this match. It wouldn't be my favorite of the night. I probably got to go back and watch it again because I see it's getting a lot of good reviews online. And while I don't necessarily care for cage match, they've monitored it now to where you can't just rage bait or you can't just go in there. Like say for example, you thought, you know, the average rating on a match is an 8 and you are wanting to put a 3, it'll only save your rating if you type in a comment as to why you're rating it that. And depending on how far off you are from the average rating depends on how long that comment needs to be. So if I'm trying to give it a 3, I might have to type like a 300, 400 word response. And so people don't have time for that. And so cage match has gotten rid of a lot of the rage baiters who try to just manipulate ratings. But and the same thing goes the other way. If the average rating's a 3 and you're trying to give it a 10, you got to give a reason for that. Because that happened to me. I was rating these matches, and there were a couple that I changed that were a little bit away from the actual average. And they were like, bro, you got to give a response as to why you're rating it this way, because you're like the only person who thinks this match was good. Or whatever, right? And so this was, I think, the third highest rated match of the weekend. It's fourth, right? So it's Cody, Cena, Punk, Gunther, the TLC, which we're about to talk about, and then Rhea, Io, Naomi. And then rounding out the top five is Lyra, Becky for the weekend. We'll talk about those next two matches now. So we'll talk about the TLC. This is one of those matches I had when I rated it. I had to give a reason why. Because the average rating for this thing is like a 7.8, 8.0 or something like that. Right? So it's averaging around an 8 out of 10. And I gave it a 5. A lot of it was, I'm just not a fan of TLC matches. I'm not a fan of the spot fest. And this was a spot fest. This match did not titillate the senses for me. I don't see the hype around it. There was zero story into this. All this was is we got six really good tag teams on this roster right here for SmackDown, and we don't know what to do with them. So you know what we're going to do? We're just going to put them all in a TLC match and have everyone cum their pants over 90 broken tables, have Candice LeRae go through a ladder, have B-Fab in there. And as much as I love B-Fab, she had no reason to be here. Nikki Cross had zero reason to get involved with this match. Candice LeRae, zero reason to get involved with this match. There was just no reason for it. And so, but what's funny is, and I talk about, like, the casuals being hypocrites, this is one of those areas where they'll complain about AEW doing SpotFest. Such and such ran a SpotFest. You know, Ospreay, all he does is flips and shit. And then they'll hate on that. And then they'll come to this literal spot fest. This was literally a spot monkey fest. You had people flying all over the place. You couldn't keep up with the action. And the casuals are over there cumming their pants over this. And I don't mean to be crass with that, but they literally were sitting on the dark side of the internet with six people in a live stream. If you follow what was my Twitter, you can't follow it now because I'm done with the IWC, so I completely got rid of Twitter. There's a lot of other reasons as well, but I'm completely done with it. I'm not going back. But I posted a tweet that basically said something along the lines of it was on the Lyra Valkyria match. It said somewhere in the deepest part of the internet, there's a casual live stream with six people complaining about Lyra Valkyria, and I was being facetious and sarcastic, but realistic at the same time. And So I just, yeah, they were sitting there, and oh, this TLC match is so great. Yeah, but it didn't tell a story. Nothing got told in this match. It was literally a complete waste of time. You had a bunch of broken tables and broken ladders. You went through the entire hardware department at Lowe's or Home Depot. You slapped some Slim Jim logos on these tables and then broke them. Right? This was a spot fest for the nostalgia junkies who remember the Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Dudleys, which, again, I wasn't a big fan of their matches. I think they're wildly overrated, in my opinion. But this wasn't for me. This wasn't for me. I will say it was an exciting match. It got people excited in the crowd. It got people excited. I mean, even when I saw some of the stuff, I popped. But what else do you do when Candice LeRae literally goes through a ladder, splits it in half? What else are you supposed to do than go, oh my God? Right? Yeah, so it was a crazy match. But it wasn't for me. So then we go to Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch. And the first thing people are complaining about is Becky has new music. Now, I don't know about you. I love Becky Lynch's new music. It's apparently called, it's by a band called The Wonder Years. Let's see if I can even find it. Okay, so it's a personal favorite of her husband, Seth Rollins. I personally loved it. I thought it was a good song. Was it different than Celtic Invasion? Sure. That was a classic. But I did think Becky needed a change. I did. I think the goal of this was to keep people from singing. Now, they need to do the same thing with Seth Rollins. They need to change Seth's music because all people do is sing to the song, and it's really hard to picture him as a heel when they sing his song. Now, he plays into it a little bit, right? Like he's bathing in it and it's feeding his ego. So it's not as bad, but just having people cheer for Becky by singing her. Now, this is probably an easy song for people to learn once they listen to it enough. So they'll probably start singing this song. But I've seen people throw it off as just like normal like rock music, like generic rock music. And no, it's a good song. And so we then have Lyra come out. And we're at the entrance. We're at the entrance. Lyra Valkyria literally is on the stage still. And people are saying, no, am I going crazy? Or is she getting no response? And the entire complaint, the things that I've seen about this match, of Lyra gets no response, Lyra's this, Lyra's that. Bro, if I see one more post, which is part of the reason I got off a social media. I was just tired of seeing the negativity towards Lyra Valkyria. That was part of it, right? What more do you want from her? I don't know what else you guys expect to get from Lyra. I'm going to stand on business. She's a top 3 women's wrestler in the company right now. With Rhea above her. And with Liv, it's Rhea, Liv, Lyra to me. In terms of consistency, Becky's a close fourth. Because Becky Lynch is up there. Like, I can't pretend. Like, when they were in a feud, I could play into, like, okay, I'm a Lyra person, so I'm going to hate on Becky. But let's just be honest, I like Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch earned a lot of my respect back again, especially with her promo against Nikki Bella last night. So that's what we're going to talk about. So with this match, I don't know what's so hard to enjoy about this match. Because everyone seems to critique everything but the match itself. the critiques on this match are that, well, the crowd wasn't into it. Well, can I explain to you the science of sound? Oh, I just don't hear the response. Can I tell you the science of sound? Sound goes up, right? So when you're in a closed arena, the reason it sounds loud, like if they were to do this event in Madison Square Garden, it would sound loud as hell because Madison Square Garden is a closed circuit, basically, right? So the sound just lingers in the building. It tries to find a way to escape, but the sound just sits there. When you're in an open arena, sound goes up, right? Now, this is an arena that it would literally, it's a tenth of a mile from end zone concourse to end zone concourse. It's a tenth of a mile. It would take you 3 to 5 minutes, depending on how fast you walk, to walk from in a circle around the arena. It's a big stadium, right? I need you to understand the mics are as close to the action as possible. They don't have upper deck microphones to pick up sound. So the sound just goes up. It doesn't travel towards the ring. It travels up. That's right. Ask anyone who has ever set up audio for concerts and stadiums. It's very difficult to get it to sound perfect. But you also got to understand how live entertainment works. Everything in this show, right? So night one, you take night one. Everything in night one that happened before the main event is not as important as, like, they booked around the main events for both nights, right? WWE wanted for you to be in your seat for the main event, understanding that the rest of the show, you're going to be in bathroom lines, you're going to be in concession lines, you're going to be in merch lines. Not everything is going to hit for every single person. And this is one of those matches. You just got done with an energy drainer in that TLC match. So you're the match that has to follow that, understanding that the crowd's not going to respond. Because they're tired, they're worn out, they're going to the bathroom, they're getting their drinks, they're getting everything settled so that they can be in their seats for the main event. And this match was a 25-minute masterpiece of storytelling to me. I keep hearing things like, oh, but there was no psychology in this match. The hell? Like I really want to know what you were watching. Were we watching the same match? Because I thought that the story being told was pretty simple. The stipulation was, if Lyra loses the match, she cannot challenge for the Women's IC Championship again. There's psychology. That's the stipulation. It's no disqualification, and there's no countouts. A finish must happen in the ring. Whether submission or pinfall. There's your stipulation. There's the reason why Lyra Valkyrie is fighting, right? So what does Becky Lynch do in total heel fashion? She zip ties her hands together. If you can't defend yourself, more than likely you're not going to be able to fight for long. The idea was, I can beat her easily if I just zip tie her hands together. Lyra Valkyrie has heart. She fights back. She actually does some things that some of these morons who are critiquing these matches couldn't do without their hands being zip-tied, and she did them with her hands tied. This whole thing was to prove Lyra Valkyrie has heart. But it was also entirely set up for the finish. So when the zip-tie comes apart, because some zip-ties don't stay together, right? I've had to deal with, like, I work with zip ties. I do. And we zip tie our banners to our fences sometimes, to our gates sometimes. And if you get a really bad storm or a bad wind, sometimes the wind will push the zip ties open. Right? And you gotta re-zip tie them. Right? It happens. Now, from a production standpoint, because there's guys like Stevie who are like, well, you gotta think on your feet. No. This was the story. You can't you can't call an audible and throw out the entire premise of the match, which was her hands are tied. Could they have used something different like handcuffs? Sure. Absolutely. Or if you were saving the handcuffs for the next match, you could have like tied her hands together with a rope or something. Right? But I don't even think it was that big of a deal that her hands slipped out. This was more of a production issue than a they didn't think on their feet. Now, Becky could have picked her back up, started punching her, and in like heel fashion, grabbed more zip ties and zip tied her together again. They could have done something like that, sure. But it's not the end of the fucking world. Right? It's not the end of the world that it... Right? What really should have happened was the people in the truck, the people producing the match in the back in Gorilla should have said, hey, zip ties are broke or came undone. Point to Becky's face. Or wide zoom the audience while we get this fixed for a second. Have Michael Cole, you know, rile up the fans again watching at home. Right? Or do something and not keep the camera pointed on Lyra fixing it, right? Cause yeah, sure, it looks a little bit stupid. But again, that's not a Lyra Valkyria issue. This was the premise of the story. So then you get to the outside spot where Bailey comes in and grabs the... it was like a crowbar or something like that. I don't fully remember what it was that Becky was holding. But Bailey stops Becky from destroying Lyra, right? And now she's got to have the... And it could have been a chair. But now she's got to have, like, the battle in between herself. Devil, angel, who am I going to choose? And she throws down whatever the weapon was, right? And she gets up on... Like, as we come to the finish, Bailey tries to hit Becky and instead hits Lyra, which ends up costing Lyra the match. Was the ending a little rushed? A little bit. But it made perfect sense. This match accomplished exactly what they had wrote on paper for it to accomplish. It was a catalyst for Lyra and Bailey to have a feud. Right? Now, I think ultimately we're going to get to a place where Bailey and Becky fight off. And I think Lyra's going to ultimately cost Bailey the match. And I think this is going to happen pretty soon. I think Bailey's going to go to Becky here soon and say, hey, we need a match. And then Lyra's going to cost Bailey the match. That's going to blow up into a feud. I think as we go to Paris, Friday night SmackDown on the 22nd of August is in Dublin, Ireland. You're going to tell me they're not going to have their Dublin girls there. Becky and Lyra, I 100% will expect to be at SmackDown in Dublin. I think we get Lyra versus Bailey. This is my fantasy booking. This is what I think will happen. If it doesn't happen this way, don't throw this in my face. Like, oh, this is what you said was going to happen. No. This is what I think they should do. Right? Not what I think they will do, but what I think they should do. I would have Bailey beat Lyra in Dublin on the 22nd. Right? I would then maybe lead that into Bailey getting a match against Becky or something, because you got about 2 months before this feud sort of culminates fully, right? And then what I would do after Perth, the Friday night after Perth in Australia, that Monday night they stay in Perth, and then that Friday night they're in San Jose, which happens to be Bailey's hometown. I think what they're going to do on this Australian tour is they're not going to bring the whole crew, obviously. And I think Bailey's not going to miss San Jose. So you do Bailey and Lyra again in San Jose. Lyra gets the win in Bailey's hometown, right? And then you blow off the final match. The final match in this feud is at Survivor Series, right? This then can push Lyra into the main event scene. I think that's where she's headed, by the way. Like, everyone expects, like, oh, Triple H put her in the bathroom break match because he doesn't see her. No. She got to face Becky and then Bayley, two of the greatest of all time, and they're going to put her over? Now, understand, putting someone over doesn't mean that you have to have the person you're putting over win the feud, right? Lyra still went over, got over through the Becky feud, right? Because it ultimately led to the Bayley feud, where I do think she's going to win the feud at Survivor Series. So that's what I think is coming. I could be wrong. But I think Lyra should be considered at this point a favorite to be a sleeper in the Royal Rumble. 100%. 100%. So we then get Solo Sikoa versus Jacob Fatu, which everyone is already complaining that, oh, this match sucked. But again, it accomplished something that they wanted to be done. And I keep hearing all of this complaining about, oh, why do we have a door? Guys, it's real fucking simple. That's how the heels escape. It's literally a trope. I've always remembered there being a door. So I don't know, like, what type of matches. Like, I've always remembered steel cage matches having a door. And that's how the heels win. Now, WWE utilizes the heels winning too much through it. It would be nice to have a face go over in one of these matches, literally go over. But I've always remembered a door being a way you can win this match. I don't understand what the problem with it is. Anyone who thought Solo wasn't going to win, I think is crazy. And anyone upset with the way this match ended, again, is crazy. Jacob Fatu is probably going to be one of Cody's first opponents once this Cody feud with Cena ends, which I think it's over, right? I think Cena obviously has a new opponent, but I think Fatu, within the end of the year, will be challenging Cody for the title. And Fatu should be the favorite to win the Royal Rumble and go to WrestleMania. Now, I don't know about that because I've been hearing that Roman Cody 3 is in the plans, and if that's the case, I don't know if I'm interested in that. Right? So then we get Dom Mysterio versus AJ Styles. And this was nostalgia, if nostalgia was needed. Like, and I'm not the biggest nostalgia fan, but I liked it. It was a tribute to Eddie. I don't think it's the last match in their feud. And I think the next match we get will be the actual wrestling match. This was solely a tribute to Eddie. I forgot what they were celebrating, but it was like the 25th anniversary of something. I don't hate it. I think they're going to get another match. Here's what I would love to see happen here. I would love to see AJ Styles show up at Triple Mania and cost a Dominic Mysterio the Fatal 4-Way. Whether it's to help Vikingo win or help someone else win, I would love to see AJ Styles show up at Triple Mania, which I think airs live on the 16th on WWE's YouTube page. I love that they're doing that. Yeah, that's Saturday, the 16th, a week from this Saturday, Triple Mania. I don't know what time it is. We will not be predicting that in the group, but because there's not enough interest for me to care. Or is it Triple Mania XXXIII. Was that 33? See what we got as a card for that show. You only got one match booked so far. El Hijo de Vikingo, Dominic Dragon Lee, El Grande Americano. Hopefully, we get some more matches for that. That's crazy. Anyway, Yeah, so that's what I hope happened. Again, I didn't hate this match. The result doesn't surprise me. I think it continues the feud. We then get to the main event. And guys, this is match of the weekend. Cena versus Cody was the best match of the weekend. And I might give a hot take. I don't necessarily think it's a hot take. I think this is a genuine, logical take. This may have been John Cena's best match of the last 10 years. And dare I say, ever. I can't think of a Cena match that I enjoyed more than this. And I think two things happened here. First off, they wanted to give the fans a match, being that WrestleMania's match was so fucking awful. They wanted to give the fans something that they can remember, and they did just that. And this was one of the greatest. See, this match will challenge the women's triple threat for Mania for my match of the year. Such a great match. Such a great match. I don't know if I would call it Cena's best match ever, but definitely, like, it was better than the Theory match. It was better than the Solo match. I can't think of a match Cena's had in the last 10 years that was this good. He moved better than I've seen him move in a long time. John Cena says he can't do it no more. I think he could if he wanted it to. And then, so Cody leaves with the belt, which I knew was happening. Cody leaves with the belt, and he disappears. He's gone. Cena standing in the ring. Michael Cole starts talking, you know, cherish this moment. You got 4 months left. And then Brock Lesnar's music hits. I don't even know if I did it right. But Brock Lesnar's music hits. And I'm not the person to overreact. I got my mouth dropped. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, dude. It was just like, bro, Brock Lesnar is back. We didn't think this would happen ever, right? And then simultaneously, as Brock Lesnar hits, the IWC sickos, White Knights, and crazy lunatics with, right, all lost their ever-loving mind because they don't understand the difference between actually guilty of something and allegedly probably did something. So, and I was going to go out on a defense. I'm not Brock Lesnar's lawyer. I don't have to defend him. I'm not WWE's lawyer. I don't have to defend them. All I got to say with this is WWE's legal team, they're not just some company that's going to do something like this. If they aren't certain, there's not going to be legal backlash. They don't care about these fans, right? They don't. Why is Brock back? I'm going to say pretty simple. Why is Brock back? Brock sells tickets. Brock earns money. That's why Brock is back. That's why Brock is back. But what sucks is I can't even enjoy Brock Lesnar being back on TV without being labeled a sexist, a misogynist, being labeled as someone who's protecting pedophiles because these people don't have basic reading comprehension. And Brock Lesnar wasn't named as a defendant. Janelle Grant never once said Brock Lesnar did anything wrong. Actively insane, bruh. And I'm tired of hearing people bitching and complaining about it. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I'm tired of it, right? Oh, how dare this company? Don't watch then. No one cares. Go cry to your echo chamber somewhere else. Absolutely insane. The amount of people who lost their ever-loving mind over a character returning to a TV show is absolutely insane. While at the same show, by the way, at the same show, Cardi B opened night one, a lady who has admitted to drugging men, and Drewski was part of some video packages. Well, this man was named in the Diddy stuff and some pretty graphic stuff where this dude apparently belly flopped on a woman or something with all this baby oil on him and slid right off of her. I laughed my my butt off when I read that. But we're not gonna critique WWE about having Drewski or Cardi there. Right? The IWC is not going to call out AEW for hiring Darby Allin, who's been accused of things. Sammy Guevara, who's been accused of saying he wants to rape Mercedes Moné. Chris Jericho's been alleged of things. We're not going to hold them accountable. Josh Matthews, wasn't he accused of something? Not that I care. I'm not here to be your moral compass. And I'm not here to justify if Brock Lesnar's guilty of some gross things. He has gross fetishes. Nothing he asked for was illegal. I don't get it. Was it probably unethical? Sure, why not? Can I critique it? Say, yeah, absolutely. If Brock Lesnar's a perv, he's a perv, and he should be called out for being a perv, but he's allegedly, he's not guilty, and nothing he did was illegal. Like, Jacob Fatu is an actual ex-convict, and he gets cheered all day long. But Brock Lesnar, who's done nothing wrong, he's the one that's who's gonna send you into a frenzy. Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. The amount of people who are taking, like, there are people who are leaving social media because they're how dare WWE? They're ruining my mental health. I'm leaving because I'm tired of the insane asylum known as the IWC, and I would rather not be a participant. Or and watch that. But there are people who are like, we got to take a break. How I can't even do this anymore. You know, this company, man. It's crazy, dog. Absolutely crazy. It's crazy. These insane people. Insane people. All right, let's move on. I ain't got much more to say about SummerSlam. I thought night two was better. I will add one thing about Lyra versus Becky. You move it to night one at any point, and it probably gets better reviews. That's how good of a match it was. But because of what it followed, and because some people come in with weird presuppositions about Lyra Valkyria, and a lot of them will admit they don't even understand the gimmick. So I don't understand why they critique it. If you don't understand it, you don't have a knowledge to critique it. It's not bad. You just don't understand. But I will add, if you add that anywhere on night one outside of the main event, it's the second best night of night one. Second best match of night one, excuse me. I think it's a top three match of the weekend. I think it's the two main events. So Cena, Cody, Gunther, Punk, and then I think it's Lyra, Becky. 100%. 100%, no changing that. So let's move into Thirsty Tuesday. So what is Thirsty Tuesday going to be this time, right? So on Fridays, we're going to do best wrestling style bracket. On Tuesdays, we're going to call it Thirsty Tuesday, but we're going to do we're going to do more of a pop culture type, excuse me, bracket. This one is going to be, I collected 64, or I wrote down 64 female names, like female celebrity names, and we're going to vote to see who's the best. Now, how you rate this is not going to be solely on hotness or attractiveness. It's who's the best. So it's really just going to be who's the best, and that I'm going to leave it up to the Discord voters to determine how they rate the best. If you want to rate them based on attractiveness, that's on you. If you want to rate them on how good they are at their job, that's on you. If you want to do a mix of everything, that's on you and how you want to vote. But I'm going to read to you the 64 competitors, and then we will break this down. So region one will be athletes, and I purposely did no wrestlers, no WWE, no AEW. And how I did this, so that I'm not biased, I asked ChatGPT to give me these names, right? And then I added some people that they didn't put in there that I thought should be on the list, right? So region one And so how we're doing, we're going to break this up into four separate regions with their own individual bracket of 16. We'll take the winners of each bracket will then go in a fatal four-way to determine the winner, right? So that's how we're going to do this, right? So Region 1 athletes, we have Paige Speronic, the golfer, Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, Alex Morgan, soccer, Dialetta Liotta, who does like, she's like a host, Sydney McLaughlin, track and field, Livy Dunn from LSU Gymnastics, Alicia Schmidt, Maria Sharapova, Sophie Cunningham from women's basketball, Alicia Lehman, soccer, Simone Biles, Michelle Janike, who does hurdles, Valentina Shevchenko, the MMA fighter, Kaylin Kyle, who's an analyst for soccer, Skylar Diggins-Smith, and then Ebony Bridges, who's a boxer. Region 2, we're going to do actresses. And so those are, this list is incorrect because I made some changes to it. So I will pull up that bracket real quick. So those are Margot Robbie, Zendaya, Ana de Armas, Emma Watson, Monica Bellucci, Gal Gadot, Sydney Sweeney, Sofia Vergara, Alexandra Daddario, Anya Taylor-Joy, Megan Fox, Scarlett Johansson, Jenna Ortega, Vanessa Hudgens, Florence Pugh, or Poe, I don't know how to say her last name, and then Jessica Alba. Region 3, we have entertainers. So these are singers or performers. We have Shakira, Beyonce, Dua Lipa, Selena Gomez, Ariana Grande, Rihanna, Doja Cat, Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, Olivia Rodrigo, Camila Cabello, Tinashe. I had to include some country singers in here, so we got Ashley Cook, Megan Maroney, and Lainey Wilson, and then we ended with Rosalia. And then Region 4 is miscellaneous celebrities, so models, influencers, reality stars, right? So Kim Kardashian, Emily Ratajkowski, I think that's how you say her last name. Sarah Safari, Summer Rae, Kylie Jenner, Bella Hadid, Gigi Hadid, Addison Rae, Charli D'Amelio, Sofia Richie, Amber Rose, Lori Harvey, India Love, Chantel Jeffries, Maggie Q, and I think it's Alex Earl. So those are the 64 competitors. That are involved. We're going to do one matchup from each region each week. So, from Region 1 of athletes, we are going to do Ebony Bridges versus Dialetta Liotta. And the names are going to be in the description so you can look them up if you're in the Discord so you can vote, right? For the entertainers or singers, we're going to have Taylor Swift versus Lainey Wilson. For the actresses, Emma Watson versus Ana de Armas. And then for Region 4, the miscellaneous, you know, we got Sofia Richie versus Bella Hadid. So there's that. So in our final thoughts, we're going to do two things. I'm going to break down WWE's Unreal, like I said I was. And I really got four things I really want to bring up with this. And then we're going to end the show doing something pretty crazy. And that is to be seen. I will explain it as we end the show. But let's talk about WWE Unreal. Did WWE kill kayfabe? The answer to this is no, they did not. But I don't think it was bad at all. So there were four things that that I wanted to sort of mention as I watch this five-part series so far. The first is Bianca Belair. Let's start with her. The amount of work she puts in to making this, the gear herself, I just, absolutely crazy. To me, the amount of work she puts in, I fully gained a respect for her that I already liked her, but I gained a newfound respect for her art and her craft and just doing what she does, right? Chelsea Green, same thing, right? I think she makes it a purpose to never wear the same gear two shows in a row. And just, I don't necessarily like Chelsea Green outside of wrestling, but I gained a newfound respect for her mindset of, I'm fine being the person who's booked to lose all the time. I'm still getting booked. And I wish more people had that mindset when it came to wrestling. Like I said, being over doesn't mean you have to win. There has to be a loser as part of the show because that's how sports work. But this is entertainment, and Chelsea Green fully understands that, and I gained a new respect for that. The third thing is The Rock and how full of shit his little Pat McAfee thing is coming out to be. Where it comes out, like, in Triple H's booking, like, I was harsh on Triple H. Some for good reason, some not so good. But I don't necessarily think, like, Triple H had a plan, and we could go through the proposed WrestleMania card on another time. I thought it would have probably been a better show than what we got. But I don't think in my critique of Triple H's booking in the moment, I probably didn't realize, and this is what I liked a lot about this, is that I didn't realize how many voices Triple H has in his head. That he has talking to him on a yearly basis as they're planning some of these big events. He's got people saying this and people saying this, and it's crazy, right? And I don't think I truly take for truly understand the work Triple H puts in. And so to that, like, I'm still going to critique when it's bad, but I need to learn, just personally, what I got out of this was I need to learn that Triple H has a vision, and sometimes he has to change course because people above his pay grade intervene, but he does his best, and he's got to do with what, right? He's got to make things work with what he's got. And so some of the booking was bad, but he has a plan. Hearing him break it down, how he books WrestleMania or books WWE product in seasons, where you got Rumble to Mania, Mania to SummerSlam, SummerSlam to Survivor Series, right? That makes sense. It's kind of what we kind of suspected. And so I enjoyed getting that aspect. And then the last thing, though, that I really liked about it was seeing the CM Punk part where Triple H said, you know, right before he's going out to main event WrestleMania, Triple H going to Punk and saying, bro, you've always been able to do it. Now go out there and do it. And then to see that banger, right? And I'm going to admit, it was highly emotional seeing CM Punk being interviewed, and he's breaking down. He's like, I fucking did this shit. Like, I did it. Right? And as a person who, like this dude's entire dream since he was a child was to main event WrestleMania, and he never got the opportunity, and then he finally did, and he may not have won, but he went out there, and he did it. And it may not have been when he wanted it to happen, but he did it. Bro, that's a story right there. And now he's gone out and main evented SummerSlam the same year. CM Punk's having a career year, right? I loved that show, right? I do. All right. So What we're about to do is probably very stupid, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to end this show in this way. I'm going to thank you for watching. Like, share, subscribe, tell all your people, leave reviews, right? And then so outside of podcasting, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I, as a hobby, like to make music. I'm not good at it necessarily, but what I'm going to do is over for this episode and then Friday's episode as well, I'm going to share two of the songs that I've made. One is a hip-hop song and one is a pop-punk, like, rock song, right? And I'm just going to preface this. I'm not the greatest at it, but I want it to express my other art forms that I try to make and share it with the rest of the world. And so with that, the Slapping Mead Wrestling debut of my, so we're going to play it, we're going to play the song, and then the intro is going to play as soon as the song is over, or the exit song, the outro is going to play as soon as this song is over. So I'm going to take this last opportunity to say thank you for listening. I'm Way Too Deep. I hope you enjoy this. Let me know what you think. And now the Slapping Mead Wrestling podcast debut of my song, Emily Be Mine. I hope you enjoy. I see you walking down my street, chucks on her feet, ripped jeans on her knees. Sunset burns behind her hair so gold. She's a riot in a world that's grown so cold. Green eyes flashing like a loaded gun. One look and man, I'm done. She moves like a summer night. Heartbreak smile and a dynamite fight. Dancing shining like the 4th of July. She's a wild spark in a deadbeat sky. Every step's a rebel song. And I've been waiting all my life too long. Emily, Emily, be mine. Burning in my hair like a neon sign. Emily, Emily, can't you see your every man's dream, but you're meant for me. Emily, Emily, be mine. Burning in my hair like a neon sign. Emily, Emily, can't you see your every man's dream, but you're meant for me. I see you laughing with a crooked grin, like she knows the world and the trouble it's in. I step up close, but my nerves give way. One look for her and I forget my name. She spins around here catching the sun. Green eyes daring me to come undone. Every word I practice dies on my tongue. It's just another song that's left unsung. But hell, I'd crash and I'd burn for a chance. Diving head first to a reckless dance. She's a fire I can't outrun. She's got me beat, she's already won. Emily, Emily, be mine. Burning in my head like a neon sign. Emily, Emily, can't you see your every man's dream, but you're meant for me. Emily, Emily, be mine. Burning in my head like a neon sign. Emily, Emily, can't you see your every man's dream, but you're meant for me. You're meant for me. You're meant for me. Emily. Emily, Emily, can't you see your every man's dream, but you're meant for me.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Mead Wrestling every Tuesday.